Holly.
The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Hello and welcome back to WTBQ, and this is Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and welcome to Shannon's Corner, and I hope you're doing well today. It is a great day to be doing well. I don't know about everybody else, but we have electricity back, which is really terrific after a week without it, so it's really a good thing. So it's a great day. I think tomorrow's not going to be such a great day, but if everybody has their electricity back and it's sun shining and it's a wonderful day outside, enjoy it, because guess what else it is? I don't have to tell you, do I? It is voting day. It is November 6th. It is the day to vote. And that's what we're going to talk about today in an interesting way. I love my guest today. She does wonderful, wonderful books, wonderful writing. She writes for Forbes magazine. She's written a number of books. She's been a guest here before. And she studies body language. And it's a really interesting, it's just an interesting thing to study and certainly an interesting thing to learn about because it's so subconscious and it's so below the surface. And when you're choosing a candidate, obviously the way they behave, the way they look, I mean, I'm very much into image. Years ago, I was an image consultant. I understand image. I like image. But there's other things about image that I don't get, things that are subtly there on the surface that we make decisions on. And certainly we do that with our presidential candidates because it's a very important decision. And Carol Kinsey Gohman has written The Silent Language of Leaders, How Body Language Can Help or Hurt How You Lead. She works with business executives and teaches them how to lead. But what could be a bigger leader than the president? And she has been writing articles in Forbes magazine about choosing a president, about how, you know, we subconsciously choose it, about the debates, and how body language of us, of the voters, also chooses a president. So we're going to talk about all that today. I want to welcome Dr. Carol Kinsey Gohman to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I am great. Thank you. Good. How are you?
I'm terrific. We've got electricity back. We're all pretty good, but it's been a rough couple days here, a rough week, actually. But
you bet.
It has been, but it's good to be back up and running. And it's good to vote. And I just love your work. I love what this is so about because it's so under the surface, isn't it? And we make these first impressions, and I don't know if they're always right, but we certainly make them and we believe them. I just heard somebody talking about how they didn't like a particular candidate because she acted too cute, she acted too this. I mean, we do make those judgments based on someone's hair, based on maybe their smile, their lack of a smile. Is this all, I mean, obviously this is true with everyone, but how correct is it?
You're right. You know, sometimes it isn't that correct. It because we have our own biases when we take a look at people as well. If they remind us of someone, even if we don't remember the sound of their voice, the shape of their face, all of these kinds of biases come in instantly. So we may dislike a candidate or just another person when we meet mm-hmm. them because they remind us of someone we don't like. And unconsciously, we just assign those negative characteristics to the other person instantly without even realizing we're doing that. So we have our own biases that we bring into a meeting, and then we have those instantaneous kind of universal ways of dealing with or understanding someone, which, for instance, for a leader, status, we're looking for the tallest person. We're looking for people that make wide gestures. We're looking for people that have palm down gestures that are very definitive. That's authority. If you think of Hitler, that's the definitive hand, you know, palm down.
Palm down.
Kind
you
of
know,
gesture.
I've read that in your readings, in your writings. I mean, what does that mean, that palm down? I never, so that is authority. Somebody puts their hands palm down. That's a definitive sort of, you know, I'm saying something strong here.
Strong in that you've made up your mind. Mm. You can be strong and open, but this is, if you ever are at a meeting and someone puts their palms down on the table, just rotates their palms as they're saying something, that pretty much says, this is my decision. This is where I stand. So it's a very definitive kind of gesture, whereas if you rotate your palms all the way up, it's like someone asking for a favor. Give me your vote. Give me your money. Give me your something. If you put them on like a 45-degree angle where you show your palms, that's a more welcoming, open, see, I have nothing to hide. You can still be definitive, but you're definitive about your openness.
Uh-huh. Interesting. And these are things, of course, that are very, we don't know them, so they're very subtle to us, but they obviously register this way with everyone. And we have something with candidates that you call, or you write about, curb appeal, a candidate's curb appeal. So when we see them, we take this view and we look at them and think, do they look presidential enough? Do they look authority? Do they look smart? Can they lead us? That's how we look at them and think we can judge that just by looking at someone, which of course, intellectually, you can see that doesn't make any sense, but that's what we do. So with the candidates, and you talk about this, Romney has a set of really good things, and Obama has a set of good things. Romney has a verbal advantage, you say, in some things, in his authority, in his palm down gestures. Obama has it in his smiles. If you're going to compare the two, what are their strong points? Let's start with that. What are their strong points in nonverbal communication?
Sure. Well, you're looking at two things. You're looking at power, status, confidence signals, and then you're looking at warmth, empathy, likability signals. And Romney has, at least through those three debates that we watched, he has become very good at displaying authority and competence and confidence, standing erect, having large gestures, being very kind of in your face. Where Obama has always had through his presidency, whether you liked him or not as a person, an amazing ability to connect with people, to have them believe that he was on their side, that he cared about them, and he does that with this, megawatt smile that he has, that genuine smile that lights up his face and gives him those little crow's feet at the sides of his eyes, and more head tilts, more leaning towards someone, more open palm gestures. So he exudes those. What you want in any candidate is a mix of both. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Romney doesn't have warm signals. He certainly does to his constituents. You know, people that already like him think that he's very warm and charismatic, and people that already like the president think that he's very capable and competent and credible. It's those undecided that's going to be really interesting to see if we go for someone who embodies more that prototypical power and status, or what I think is a very powerful set of signals that the empathy, warmth, and likability. Like I say, you want both, but these candidates kind of go to the edges of those two spectrums.
Right, and both are hard to kind of, sometimes they cancel each other out, warmth and authority, as you say. They sometimes, authoritative people aren't always warm and kind. So we want that on one hand, we want both of those things. Now, I guess the candidates are very well prepped in this, right? They understand that everything they do sends a signal. So can you change someone? I mean, if somebody says to Obama or Romney, what you do really doesn't send a good message. So don't stand like that. Don't talk like that. Don't fidget like that. Or don't smile so big. Or don't put your hands in your pockets. How much of that can you, how much of that can you hide who you really are by learning the certain cues that mean something?
Well, I like to think of it as not so much hiding who you really are, but projecting your best self. It's like using your best table manners if you're out to lunch with a client, or spell checking an email that you're going to send to your boss. It's not that you want to send your sloppiest self or your least refined self. You want to send your best self. So if you don't have that in you, it's going to be a lot more difficult to project. But if you think of Margaret Thatcher, for instance, who when she was in the parliament had that really kind of high schoolmarmish sort of squeaky voice, and she got coached to bring her voice down, to project, to be more authoritative. And it wasn't that the other one was the true her. It was just the way she spoke. This was just as true her under other circumstances.
All right. So what you do when you counsel people and help them show that to bring out their true self is really what it is. It's not a matter of hiding someone else. So a good coach is doing that with them, is telling them to, I guess, just edit a little bit of who they are to make it more genuine as opposed to take away who they're not, sort of thing.
Yeah, and get rid of some of the bad habits that you have that you just fell into because it's the way it's more comfortable for you to stand. Realize that how it feels to you, maybe not how it looks to other people. And that's the thing with body language. It's always through the eyes of the beholder that you have to evaluate how you're doing.
But sometimes that can really not be true. I mean, if you, I don't know, if you do something that really is not really what you mean. I know in something you wrote, I read that if someone yawns at a business meeting, for example, it might be that they were up working all night, and that's a good thing. It says that they're really dedicated employees, but they could look very bored. So it's very hard to make that quick judgment, isn't it?
It is, and that's why if you're a smart nonverbal communicator and you know you've been up all night and you just yawned, you have to say, oh, excuse me, I was up all night with a whatever it was. So you explain the behavior so that there's less likelihood of somebody misinterpreting.
And so much of this, you know, with the first debate, everybody, of course, you know, said Obama lost. He was terrible. He was all these bad things because he just really wasn't into it. Now, if you like Obama and he's done all these wonderful things, could that one thing take it away? I mean, you know, the way we see someone, could that make us like them, dislike them so quickly?
It seemed to.
Yeah,
it seemed
did.
To in the polls. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I think because everyone who liked Obama knows how disappointing and how un-Obama-ish that first performance was, and the letdown from that. I don't think if he loses the election, I think he loses it from the timing of when he came back in the second and third debates, because that first one was so impactful. And I think if he wins the debates, he wins it on his smile.
Yeah, and that's true. He's got a smile. He's got a couple ears there too, you know, and ears and a smile. They really stand out. That but pretty big. But Romney, on the other hand, he seems a little ingenuous to me at times. I mean, he does have this this quick movement about him that I don't kind of trust. Maybe that's just me. That he's kind of all over the place. He wants to get jabs in where he's not sure, and I don't know. He seems unsure. Are some of those things that he does with the slight movement and the stammering, are those appearing to be things that he, body language that he purposely doesn't do right, or is it his natural way, or is this something he's been taught and he doesn't know how to exactly make it into the right way? Why does he seem so uncomfortable at times?
Well, that's a really good question. I think he has been so coached. I watched all the GOP debates, and I've watched how Romney has developed, and he's really had some good coaching. But he does have some default behaviors. He has that smirky smile that everybody commented on in the first debate. Even if you liked the fact that he was in your, you know, kind of more aggressive, it was that the camera was on him so much. It's what they did when the other person was talking that was as damaging as when they did. Obama's looking down and seeing lethargic, and Romney being frozen in this sort of half smile that over time, when the camera's on him, just began to be so annoying. It was the most tweeted about expression of the debate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. I think you're right. I think he's been overcoached and he tries awfully hard. We have to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how our body language chooses a president and some really interesting statistics about the two men and what we think as people. So stay where you are. I'm going to be back here in just a few on WTVQ.
This is Town to Chester Supervisor Steve Newhouse.
And this is Orange County Legislature.
WTVQ. Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Election Day today in a very different way. We are talking about the silent language of leaders, how body language can help or hurt how you lead. And of course, what could be the most important leader in our country is the one that we are choosing today. We are talking to Dr. Carol Ginzey Gohman, who has written this book, The Silent Language of Leaders, How Body Language Can Help or Hurt How You Lead. And this is what she does, and she's brilliant at it. She writes a column in Forbes magazine. She's a keynote speaker, leaders communication coach. She has written many other books, The Nonverbal Advantage, and she's talking to us today about the candidates, how we judge them, kind of, you know, not really consciously, very unconsciously, by their body language. And before we took a break, I mentioned that we're going to talk about an interesting study that Carol wrote about. That was the Center for Body Language in Belgium, where they used webcams to monitor the emotions of voters across the United States as they watched the debates. Now, this is really interesting what they found, isn't it, their findings. For example, 52% of independent voters find Romney's sarcastic Obama denigrating humor funny. 19% of Democrats laughed at Romney's speech as a joke. 26% of Republicans show very strong micro expressions of anger and disgust when seeing Obama. Some of them literally hate Obama. And this all shows up, doesn't it?
It does. And I think that last one was the most startling to
it
me.
It is, yeah.
Because they didn't find the opposite. They didn't find Obama supporters that hated Romney. But there is a lot of very strong negative emotion against the president that we don't talk much about and really haven't tapped. And I don't know how that's going to play out in the election, but I thought that was disconcerting and interesting to have them discover.
Right. So they actually, 26% of Republicans actually hate, not dislike him, don't think he's not a good leader, don't, you know, prefer the other guy. They actually hate Obama.
Yeah.
But that is not the case on the other side. People don't hate Romney. Does that say that Romney is more likable, or do you think this is just a partisan finding?
It's not a likable. I think it's just that we have, I don't think, you know, we're still a racist country.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have that prejudice going in. I think we have people that think that that the president is a socialist, and so we have that going in. And I think those two things combine, and we really don't talk about either one of those very much.
Right.
But I think they combine to pull a certain percentage of Romney supporters and really that really hate Obama. Because even in this study, it showed that the overall likability factor was in Obama's case. It's an extremely close race. If Obama wins, it will be thanks to the stronger emotional connection that he has with his supporters. Now, we don't know about the independents,
mm-hmm.
and Romney again leads by playing strongly against his opponent. So it is going to come down to which kind of leader we choose in these times. And, you know, I don't think there is such a thing as a perfect leader. I think certain leaders at certain times resonate with us in ways that are right, you know, right central to who we are. And we either gravitate toward them or we're repelled by them for a variety of reasons, some conscious and some very unconscious, that are driving us.
Well, they both have their pros and their cons when we're talking about this. I mean, you know, Romney's sarcastic remarks are not really looked upon well, but, you know, as you said, so many people really dislike Obama, not so many, 26% of Republicans. I mean, there's some real strong feelings out there. But ultimately, as you say, it's very close. Interestingly, though, this same study says that if this election was to happen in Europe, that Obama would win, right?
Obama is very strongly, positively, emotionally perceived by Europeans. I was just in London and Edinburgh, and which obviously does not represent the EU,
right.
But certainly over in that part of the world, Obama has a lot of very positive and very strong emotional attachments.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well, you know, that might play the same over here. It's hard to tell. It is a very close race. But certainly how we feel about the candidates, what they do. I mean, policies are really important, and that probably should be the first thing we judge. But it's not the first thing we judge. We always judge people about how we feel about them, how they look, about their behavior. Do we like them? Do we trust them? So we have to take this into account. Certainly the candidates know we have to take this into account. But I would also urge everybody to look a little bit past that, because that's not always the best. I mean, many years ago, before we had all this television and all this coverage 24/7, we didn't really know how the candidates looked. We didn't know if they walked with a limp or whatever. And, you know, obviously years ago, you know, that was to their advantage, and now it can be often to their disadvantage, right?
Exactly. And they, according to a lot of the research, it says that the most, you know, deciding factor in how you vote is your party affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
The next highest is that gut feeling, that gut reaction you have to a candidate. So it is the nonverbal, and I'm with you. It really shouldn't be. We make a lot of mistakes by letting that drive us. But the biggest mistake we make is by not knowing how it drives us and not understanding that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's true. As a woman, we all understand if we're having a bad hair day, we're less outgoing and a little bit more shy, just because we're a little self-conscious. It has nothing to do with the other person. So often people will judge us as, oh, she was a little standoffish. We might not be standoffish. We might be self-conscious about how we look. So, you know, those things are not taken into account. But certainly when we look at a candidate, we look at them and think, I have a gut feeling about this guy. I have a gut feeling about that guy. And maybe it's right. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just surface. So I urge everyone to take all of this into account because it's so fascinating, your work and what you do and your book. And it's so helpful because there's no way around it. You know, what we present out there is what people see and judge. But I do suggest that people look a little further when it comes to choosing a leader of the free world.
Yes.
I think so. Carol Kinsey Gorman, thank you so much. Gorman, thank you so much for joining us today. And your books, this one, The Silent Language of Leaders, How Body Language Can Help or Hurt, How You Lead, can be found through the website. Your website is on Shannon's Corner, which you can get through WTBQ.com. Is there another website you want to give out?
Amazon is fine for the book.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Amazon.com. You can find your books because you have more than one book there. And definitely, how often does the Forbes magazine article come out? Is it weekly?
I blog on Forbes probably every other week.
Wow, it's great. I love what you do on that. It's really terrific. I always read it. I thank you so much for joining us today and sharing this with everyone. And I highly suggest everyone get out there and vote. Trust your instinct, maybe. Maybe look a little bit further, but certainly do vote. Again, Carol Kinsey Gorman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Shannon. My pleasure.
It was terrific. Thank you so much. Really interesting books. Definitely go get her books. They are really fascinating for everyone. And she coaches business executives doing just that. So it's wonderful. So if you have a business executive team that you want her to coach, definitely go get her books, go on her website. It's all in Shannon's Corner. Thank you so much for joining us today. And as I said, don't forget to go out and vote. And thank you again for joining us. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.